a lamp on a stand. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come can see the light. For those, there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks, he will be taken from him. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Water in hand. So it's nice to be back. I've been away for a few weeks on holiday from the north of England on my motorbike in the rain, about 5 degrees in the Pennines, to the south of France for about 38 degrees. Thankfully, we got back from France safely, but we got easy jetted at Gatwick. So I read these three verses before I went to my travels, and I thought, fantastic, three verses. That's all I've got to cover. It feels like I'm back at school saying that. Well, Jesus certainly packed a lot into these three verses. Not just as his disciples or the listening crowd at the time, but it means as much for us today back as then. I'm also learning three verses fits very nicely into a three-point Anglican sermon. So to understand this piece of scripture, we need to take a step back to last week, to the parable of the sower, because both pieces of scripture are closely associated. You can't really get the full meaning of one without the other. Having listened to Clive's talk online, and I've already mentioned this to Clive, he spoke about fertile soil last week. The soil we are making fertile for others to experience God's love. This week, we think further how we, as his disciples, are to be a lamp shining his light in the world, although it comes with responsibility and the humble need to listen. In the parable of the sower, the seed is God's word. As Jesus said in verse 15, the seed that is in good soil stands for those with noble and good heart. Hear the word, retain it, and persevere to produce a good crop. This week we take the next step, answering the question how we present God's word, the good news of the gospel, to the world. So Jesus uses the metaphor of a lamp to explain his message. A lamp at that time would have been one of the most important items in people's home. It's quite difficult for us to imagine how important light is when we can just turn on a light switch and light just appears. I can slightly imagine how important light is when I used to go camping historically with the kids. Pitch black outside, and you can never find the torch. Normally in the middle of the night when you need to go to the toilet. You are blind until you find the torch and then the tent lights up. It would have been the same at the time of Jesus. When night fell, there would have been absolute darkness all around. The lamp would have been fueled with olive oil, giving light to those in the house so they could see, while also being a light for those who came into the house to guide them. So the lamp had two functions. It was a guide for us and a guide for others to find us. Psalm 119, verse 105 beautifully says that your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. The lamp is the word of God. His word guides us, making us into his lamp, shining the light of God for others to see. It is like the next stage in the parable of the sower. Through shining his light, we are making the fertile ground so others can be drawn to him. Interestingly, in verse 16, it says that all those who come to the light, God calls, although we are God's lamp, to draw them nearer to him. So I can't help talking about my holiday while I'm up here. So we were in the down the Mediterranean in the south of France, and it was in a beautiful little village, and at night time it was absolutely darkness. So beautiful in the dark night sky, you could see so many stars. The moon shone in the night, lighting up the night sky. It was so bright. It was a focal point of the night sky. But the moon was not the source of the light, but a reflection of the source of the light, which was the sun. Interestingly, throughout the week, the moon moved through the sky. I probably got that wrong. There's probably some astronomy who tell me differently. But for me, I experienced it moving through the night. When the moon was higher, we could see more in the night sky. When it was lower, it was darker. So we are like the moon, shining God's word to all the world. So we don't want to hide the light. Why do we want to hide the good news? Actually, I don't think it's actually possible to hide the light. If bright within us, it will shine in every part of our lives and onto others. So, as Christians, we are called. We are called to stand our lamp high, to shine the light of God's word so others are drawn to him. Jesus is saying it's just not good enough to sit back in our fertile soil thinking that we've done all we need to be with God. Being a Christian is about a verb to do, about sharing the good news with others. But shining your light comes with a health warning. Put your lamp high, all will see it. As Jesus said in verse 17, nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. I don't think Jesus is saying that if you put your lamp up high, all your deep down thoughts, feelings and struggles and woes will be shared with everybody. Although I do think in our faith, journey of faith with Jesus, we need to be aware of what we are shining to others, both good and maybe not so good. So, just to be clear here, I'm not really interested in party politics. I'm certainly not trying to take the side of red or blue political colours. Although the recent resignation of our Prime Minister highlighted the responsibility, highlighted the public response for integrity and moral stature of the political leadership in our country. Let's be clear that this could have been any political party. Through a number of scandals, things that were hidden came out into the open. It took a grip of the government. It became the focus. And many people in the country lost trust and turned away from the politics of Westminster. This is a lesson for us. The highest political office in the country, when we place our lamp high, all can be revealed, both good and not so good. Savid Javid reported to the media that the trigger to his resignation was listening to the sermon by Reverend Les Isaac, founder of the Street Partners, pastors, about integrity and humility in public life. That apparently led him that very day to write his letter of resignation as Secretary of State for Health and Social Care. Whatever you think of that scenario, it's amazing to see God's Spirit move in all areas of our society. I think it's even more amazing for Hal Savage-Javid to share this with the nation in a BBC interview. I watched it on YouTube, and the comments on YouTube from this interview also express how the word of God falls on hard ground. People were making comments about previous judgments, criticism of Savage, behaviours reflecting which reflect the world we are stepping into as Christians and how challenging others can be to us when we shine the light of God's word. So let's be careful not to point the finger at those in leadership positions. That's easy pickings. We are lamps for God's word. We need to be aware that what we shine will be seen by others, judged by others, and responded to by others. They can be drawn to us, or they can just as much be turned away from it if it is not the Word of God shining from us. None of us are perfect. There for the grace of God go I, because one cannot judge others for their flaws, for we are equally flawed. We have things we don't like about ourselves, maybe conscious or even unconscious what that we do. Some of the most challenging things I hear as a Christian is how non-believers experience judgment, accusations, and rejection by Christians. The complete opposite of the unconditional grace of God. Remember, God's Spirit calls people to come. Although through our lamp, our behaviours, what we say and do, people will be drawn. We have a responsibility to shine it to reflect God's love with absolute Spirit-filled integrity and humility. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Ben Parker wisely counsels the young Peter Parker, who gains spider powers to become the superhero Spider-Man. He said, "Comes great power, comes great responsibility." With the great power of the Holy Spirit in us comes great responsibility in how we shine the light to others. So, if we are a lamp to his word in what we say and do, how do we actually do this and sustain it with Spirit-filled integrity and humility so others can be drawn into him? Jesus addresses this in the final verse. He says, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." Jesus called us to listen, truly listen. But I have to be honest, I'm not always the best listener. The amount of times Claire mentions something she is doing, I take an interest, ask her about it in more detail, and she'll quite rightly tell me, "I told you about that a while ago. Were you not listening?" Oh, I've done it again. As a husband, I try to backtrack. Although I put my hands in the air, "Sorry, I was not listening the first time." Maybe some men can think about them as well. But I was listening the first time. Although it was the type of listening where I was listening to other things at the same time. Phone, thoughts, TV, radio. Maybe I should name this multi-listening. Although this method of listening is shallow and does not truly listen to what my wife was saying. I was not focused on what she was telling me. It was sloppy listening, not true listening. So let's go back to the parable of the sower in verse 15. Jesus calls us to hear, retain, listen our head and heart, and persevere with our listening, not to give up, to continue listening. I certainly don't have time to talk about listening to God in great detail. That'll probably be another sermon series in itself. Although I do want to say that we can start with a conscious desire to engage with him in a personal way, consciously listening to God through prayer, his word, and through others. Listening also requires retaining what we have heard and then perseverance and not give up listening to him. The higher our lamp is held high, the more we actually need to listen to God. The further we go in our faith journey, the more we need to listen. For us to be the lamp of God's word, we actively need to listen, having a conscious desire to engage with him, that he will be the fuel for our lamp. Tim Farron, the Christian MP, recently wrote in response to the Reverend Les Isaacs sermon, "It makes me think about the need to hear God's voice and to be a channel so that God can speak to men and women, whoever they are, wherever we are." The more we listen to God, the more we'll be given by God. The more fuel we'll have for our lamps to shine God's word, drawing people to him. I would say this is a framework for our journey of discipleship to become more like Christ, so that in turn God's light will shine through us onto others. So, in conclusion, are you shining a lamp for Christ, or are you hiding it? We are called to put our lamp on a stand for all others to see in the darkness. Take responsibility for your lamp. The higher the lamp, the more will be disclosed, both spirit-filled and not so spirit-filled. To keep our lamp shining for Christ, we need to listen. Listen that we may live. Listening brings us humbling to him so we can grow in discipleship, bringing others to him. Let us pray. Dear God, let us be lamps for your word, held up high for all to see. Through your Spirit, give us strength, humility, and wisdom to shine your light out into the world. Amen.